Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Greetings to all of you listening around the world and a warm welcome as we bring you another edition of the Answers for the Family radio show. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and if you're a regular listener, thank you once again for joining us. If this is your first time, please make yourself at home as we bring you Answers for the Family. Now, each week, this show will address issues such as locating a runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, lasting health, and so much more. Now, having over 30 years' experience working with families in crisis, I've been fortunate to meet and work with some of the top professionals in many of the helping fields and skilled authors who are working to make this world a better place for all of us. Now, you can all do me a big favor. Please check out some of our past shows at answersforthefamily.com to hear some informative and entertaining guests, as well as some dynamic co-hosts. They will discuss ways for you and your loved ones to become happier, healthier, and more at peace. Now, I'm also looking for some show ambassadors who will forward at least one of our shows to your social media group or someone you know that can benefit from a particular subject. I want you to know that I truly appreciate it, and this is just another way that we can make a positive difference in the lives of others. Now, I can tell you right now, when I mentioned about forwarding this to someone you know who can help, you're going to find out after you hear this show that everyone you know can benefit from this show. So I want to start by the question that many people are out there asking, and that is, where in the world is Gabriella?
I am on my way to Chicago to an airport and on my way to Europe.
Oh, great. Well, what is the plan for Europe?
The plan for Europe is that I have a frailing, ailing father who is 90 that I would like to visit. And at the same time, I will be doing some rotary volunteership in Paris. So it's a combination between traveling to Paris and the south of France where my dad is.
Well, for any of our listeners out there, now that you know that Gabrielle is on her way to Europe, if you have a group and you're in that area, contact her. Go to the Dare to Be Kind movement, which you can find online or you can find on Facebook, and contact them and say, we would love to have her come and speak at our group.
We would love that. Yes, reach out to me. It's quite easy. DareToBeKindMovement.com or go to the social media. We're everywhere with the hashtag DareToBeKind.
Well, Gabriella, thank you so much for coming on, and have safe travels. And we look forward to hearing from you again next week.
Super. Talk to you next week and have a great show.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Now, for our listeners, I want you to ask yourselves, what would your life be without negative emotions from the past? Who would you be without anger, fear, sadness, hurt, guilt, or limiting beliefs? Would you like to know how to resolve these emotions permanently and have exponential personal and professional growth? Do you want to free yourself from a negative past and create a bright future? Or how about just increasing your income? How would you like to be able to do all of this in one single day? And I know I would. And I want to tell you, here's a hint. It isn't just turning off the news, although that would help. So now, like Gabriella, our guest co-host today also was a child immigrant from Pakistan. Razia Khan's dream is to end human suffering. Now, I think many of you that's listened to the show knows that that's something that we all would like. Now, she has worked for 20 years in corporate America, serving Fortune 100 and Fortune 500 companies around the globe. She is internationally recognized by the American Board of Neurolinguistic Programming and the Institute of NLP as a trainer of NLP and hypnosis, as well as being a master coach. So Razia is, she's a transformations leader now, who says that everyone has potential to become successful. Well, that's just a statement I love. So, Razia, first, what is a transformations leader?
Good question, Alan. So instead of small, incremental, linear change in business education or coaching, transformations to me means volumes of change or exponential change. So in personal or professional growth, a person would experience drastic change that's quite noticeable.
Well, you know, as someone who focuses on the positive, now I've heard some of the things you've spoken about, and you've spoken about transforming people by focusing on their negative emotions or their limiting beliefs, you know, and their desired goals. So what techniques allow you to gain such rapid results, and yet you are kind of going after some of these negative things?
I help clients to transform their lives through the use of neuro-linguistics programming, also known as NLP. I'm grateful to all the people who contributed decades of their careers to perfect these techniques that we have today. NLP allows me to work with my clients by reconnecting the brain neurology, which got disconnected, for example, with excessive stress imposed on the brain. We help the client to tap into their subconscious mind while the client is fully conscious and aware. It's not something we do to a client, it's something we do with the client. So the client has to be an active participant to see results. Together we get rid of the past trauma, negative emotions, limiting beliefs, and we ensure the client is in harmony with their goals and values. I use NLP because it's very, very logical, and it helps to create better, happier, and more fulfilling lives. People even increase their income. It's really a paradigm shift. This evolution occurs where you grow in so many dimensions, emotionally, spiritually, intellectually. But I didn't stop there. I myself went through NLP. I was so excited with my own growth. I helped my family, my friends, and I continue to help my clients. I had such a profound experience. I wanted everybody to experience it. Hence, I train practitioners and master practitioners because I want to give this miraculous gift to lots and lots of people. I want to, in essence, pay it forward. And I think the fastest way for me to do that is to train others to start that chain of passing the knowledge onward.
Well, and I couldn't agree more. And one of the things, again, that I know you've spoken on is for each person to be able to reach their highest purpose. What do you consider your highest purpose?
My highest purpose is the belief that if we fuel every individual to be independent and self-sufficient, then societies throughout the world will become stronger and flourish, and creating lasting peace, love, joy, and abundance. My core belief as an NLP trainer is whatever you think you are much, much more than that.
All right. Well, I love that. And for everyone listening, think about it. What if you could transform yourself in 4 hours or less and free yourself of the past? Well, we've asked Razia to come back on the show as the guest to tell us just how to do that. So I suggest to everybody out there who hasn't already, please subscribe to the show on iTunes so that you don't miss this show or any others. In the meantime, you can visit her website at raziakhan.com, and that's www.raziakhan.com for more information. Now, if you're driving out there, I know that you can't write this down, so you can also go to our website, answersforthefamily.com. If you're listening, you've probably been there before, so go to the site. We will make sure that we have a link so that you can reach Razia and start the ball rolling. So with that said, we're going to go into talking about our guest a little bit, and what we're going to be focusing on is reconnecting with our heart. So a little bit about our guest. Our guest was an apprentice of Don Miguel Ruiz, who, by the way, is somebody who we have contacted as well to get on the show. So our guest is Lee McCormick, and he is the founder of The Ranch. It's a holistic treatment center located on 2,000 acres in Middle Tennessee, and having just spoke to him, that's where we're reaching him today. He also has the Spirit Recovery, Inc. and the Canyon Treatment Center in Malibu, California. He is also the co-founder of Nashville's Integrative Life Center and Community Recovery Program that is also in Nashville. Now, through Spirit Recovery, Lee facilitates the production of healing and recovery conferences and spiritual journeys all around the world. He is also the executive producer of the documentary Dreaming Heaven, in which he plays a lead role. Lee is the author of the Spirit Recovery Meditation Journal, which is Meditations Reclaiming Your Authenticity, the Heart Reconnection Guidebook, A Guided Journey of Personal Discovery and Self-Awareness, and co-author of Dreaming Heaven, The Beginning is Near. Lee, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Thanks, man. It's good to be with you guys. It's nice to be inside. It's, I think, 22 degrees outside right now.
So when we say that you're on the 2,000-acre ranch, you're actually in the ranch house. You're not wandering around out in the 22 degrees, huh?
No, man. I'm sitting in my living room.
Well, that's great. So, Lee, to talk a little bit about, you know, the Heart Reconnection Guidebook, when you were thinking about this, you know, you've obviously been doing a lot of things. Who did you have in mind when you wrote that guidebook?
Well, the book came about as a result of a conversation. I was at a conference in Santa Fe, a mental health addictions conference. I've got good friends that own a company that produces U.S. Journal trainings. They produce mental health addictions conferences around the country. And I was with Joan Borisenko and her husband Gordy and Gary Seidler, who's one of the principals in that conference company. Holly Cook, who is a therapist that I work with at our Integrative Life Center in Nashville. Mary Faulkner, who is the principal writer with me in this book. And we had an ongoing conversation over time, and a lot of this was really, I guess, really carried by me more than anything, because over 21, 22 years in the recovery realm, you know, having been on my own journey and then creating more than one treatment center, healing center over the last 20 years, I was never satisfied with the outcome. I've always felt like we are really missing something profoundly important in the way that in this work. And, you know, what is that? And it's bugged me for years, because for all the years that addictions treatment has been around, the outcomes have never improved drastically, which is, you know, it's tragic and it's daunting. There's no other aspect of medicine that the outcomes haven't improved. You know, if you look at this as a medical situation, a lot of people do. They characterize it as a disease. Well, what other realm of medicine, mental health or otherwise, has not had profound progress in its effectiveness over the last 50 years? And so we were in that conversation, and it quickly became obvious that between all of us and all of our different experiences and all of our different backgrounds, that we all more or less had the same feeling about it. You know, I say feeling because I think the truth shows up more often as an intuitive hit than it does as an aspect of reason, you know. And we all had the same feeling that there's just simply something foundational that's not correct in the basis that we're working from. We have great modalities. You know, we've developed a lot of great tools over the last 30 or 40 years. We've made progress in so many areas. And with all of that, it would seem that the disconnection has got to be in the foundation of the message and the foundation of how we're approaching and how we perceive the people that we're working with, the people that are looking for help. And that was the backstory to it. And then we just, you know, I said, well, you know what, between us, if we were to combine our experience and combine our perspectives, we could write a paradigm shifting book around this. And so the Heart Reconnection book is what we ended up writing. It took a couple years to get that done, but we did it.
Very good.
Now, so complementing the Heart Reconnection Guidebook text is a comprehensive teacher's guide. Okay, how do you envision its use in classrooms, in group counseling, or book groups? It seems like the opportunities are endless.
It really is, and honestly, that was the motivation behind it. You know, you can present people with all kind of fantastic perspectives and varying points of view and inspiring information or, you know, real uplifting messaging. If you don't give them tools to work with, the experience, that response that you get or that reaction that you have, that you're inspired and you want to get up and do something about, you know, addressing your life or making your life greater or better, it feels good for a little bit. But if you don't have some tools, then nothing really changes. You know, it's, you just kind of lose your buzz. And that's been a foundational part of my journey when I got involved with the Toltec work and Miguel Ruiz years ago, which happened a couple years after I had checked myself into a treatment center and had, you know, gone through doing all of the great work that's done in the mental health and addictions treatment experience. The thing about Miguel and about the Toltec legacy is it's based in our awareness. It's based in the simple foundation of what are we giving our attention to? What's the quality and the character of the story that we have created about ourselves, about life, about the world that we then buy into and end up calling reality? And so it was engaging with Miguel. There was a really powerful, compelling toolbox of experiences that were always leading you to greater awarenesses or an awareness of your limitations or an awareness of your possibilities. And then there were very specific approaches in the practices of unraveling yourself, you know, unraveling the stories that hold the link and the attachment to the trauma or the fear or the identity of less than. And when you combine that point of view and those practices with the Western mental health modalities, you have an incredibly powerful opportunity for individuals to come in and really sort their life out from a place of respect, you know, from respecting each individual, where clearly the culture we're born into is really based in compliance, that for us to have value, we have to be compliant with the beliefs and the systems and the values of the culture, which for most people sets up some level of innate dis-ease, you know, that you're living your life based on an inherited belief system that you may or may not have ever really questioned. And you may or may not have ever been given the opportunity to come to terms with, does this belief system that I'm living from, which is not much different than being downloaded with an operating system in a computer, is this belief system, does it really feel congruent to me? Is it really, you know, is what I believe really true? Or is it just what I've given my faith to over all these years? So all of these things played into the creation of the Heart Reconnection point of view and the Heart Reconnection work, and then those tools that are in the back of the book. And we're working on an addition to that, which will look like, I think, a Heart Reconnection journal. And to give people specific tools and practices, when they get inspired, they then can say, okay, well, I can do this. And, you know, there are book study groups that literally take this book and they go through the practices with each other. There are therapists that create treatment plans using this book as a foundation, you know, using the book as a piece. And then, of course, everyone's going to weave in their own personal work. A great healer, a great therapist, a great teacher, they weave tapestries of things together. And then it also depends on the nature of the individuals that you're working with at any point in time. We humans are pretty interesting characters. we're all unique, you know, and
That's good, Lee. I like the use. I like how you use the word tapestry, and that's correct. There are so many things that people do that we do weave like into a tapestry. So I wanted to ask you, is there a certain age group that would start reading a book like this?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I mean, I think anyone, any age could read it. I think you'd have to have that somewhat of a sense of self. I mean, I can certainly envision, some of the 14, 15, 16-year-old kids that I've known that absolutely could read this book.
And, you know, I was going to say,
get a lot of,
the idea of the age, I think that's a great point. And I know that we at West Shield work with a lot of at-risk youth, you know, that we're taking to specialized programs. And I can envision, you know, a lot of these programs that are out there working with at-risk youth, you know, being able to sit down and as you said, either set up a treatment program built around it, or just to sit down and have them read along with everybody so that they're taking it in. And I'm of the belief that starting at an early age, you know, the sooner the better.
Well, sure. I mean, you know, it's our children are born to us. We have a responsibility to take care of them, raise them, and you know, we love them. And we also, I think, which is not necessarily a part of the typical family in this country, you know, we have a responsibility as parents to respect who they are, really. Because they're, you know, they're not our property. Our children are not our property. Our children are unique individuals just like we are. And to get to know a child and support a child in realizing and investigating and being proud of their gifts, their talents, you know, their interests, to teach them and guide them to trust and have faith in what's in their heart.
So Lee, you know, if I am a parent, how would I, I'm the parent, how would I guide my child to be able to use your book? Would I read it first and then have the child read it, or would we read it together?
Well, I think you could do either way. You know, I mean, if I'm being a parent, I would always read the book first and see, you know, see what my impression is. How did the book inspire me? And then, of course, you know, you can ask the child, because some kids will get it and resonate with it and some won't, just like some adults resonate. You know, we all have our own unique perceptions and we all have those things that we resonate with and things that we don't so much resonate with. And it's not about right or wrong or good or bad. It's simply that we're each unique individuals. The cool thing about the book to me is that there's a lot of room for imagination. There's a lot of room. The book is not based in good, bad, right, wrong paradigm. The book is based in reflections on our heart, on our spirit, on our dreams, and taking responsibilities for how we make choices and behaviors, for realizing the awareness of the legacy that we each inherit being born into this world and the power that that legacy holds, potentially holds and typically does hold, the power that our inherited legacy holds over us in our perceptions and our beliefs. Again, we're, you know, our mind at birth is not unlike a clean hard drive on a computer. And as we move through life, we're downloaded with all kind of information and apps and operating systems. And those are not necessarily, and very rarely are those actually our apps or our operating systems. They're specific to the culture, the family, the community, the faith, the situation, the time of our birth. And, you know, and so this book allows an opportunity to realize how we're functioning and how we're living as a human being, and to reflect on that from a place of respect. you know, as opposed to, in order to be successful, you must be compliant. You see that a lot in the addictions treatment world, that, you know, you can be compliant and be seen, viewed, you know, tell yourself that because I've been sober for 3 years and I've done everything that was suggested that I do, and I, you know, I go to the meetings and I do all these things, that means I'm successful. And you can still, for all intents and purposes, be completely disconnected from your own heart and spirit.
Yes. I like how you stated that this book walks you through your own personal journey.
Sure, because it is, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, each of us is. I was listening to NPR this morning, and they were interviewing a doctor that had written a book about the orchid and the dandelion, something like that, about children. It sounded like a fantastic book. And there's the interviewer said to him, you make a statement in this book that no two people grow up in the same family. And I was like, oh my God, because I've said that for years in doing family work and being around family work, that each one of us, if there's five kids in your family, all five of you are growing up in a different family. The dynamic changes as time passes. The dynamic changes as our parents' lives evolve and change, as new siblings come into the family or go out of the family, you know. And we tend to think if there were eight people sitting around the Thanksgiving table having dinner together and something happens, that all eight people experienced the same thing. Well, no, they didn't. There were eight unique experiences in that moment.
Yeah, Lee. Lee, you know, I'm smiling, and by the way, we're on Facebook Live as well. I'm smiling while you're saying that because I can remember making the statement to my younger brother. I had a younger brother and a foster brother as well. Both were younger, and when they were complaining about something in regards to our parents, and I said, you guys should feel blessed. I go, I broke them in for you, you know. You know, as the oldest one, it's like, you know, I broke them in, you know. So I said, you know, they're actually a lot easier on you because they now kind of have a little experience at this, you know. So I would tell them, don't complain.
Yeah. Well, it's all relative, though, isn't it?
Yeah. But it just goes to your point of none of us are being raised in the same family. Things are changing as we go on. And in fact, I mentioned before when Razia brought up the thing about it's each person's own personal journey. Well, you know, I completely agree with that because, you know, it's, you know, that's another thing to where it's changing, you know, and it's also asking people to take responsibility for our own journey. And the other thing that I like about the book is by doing that, it's literally the opposite of what they're getting now from the standpoint of, you know, the media and, you know, politics and everything else, where, you know, everybody's trying to tell them how to think, what to think, what's right,
what not to think,
exactly, who to alienate, you know, as opposed to, you know, your book telling people, look inside and figure out what works for you. You know, it's asking people to take responsibility, not trying to push, you know, somebody else's agenda on it. And that's one of the things that I think is great and why I think it's making a positive difference out there.
Yeah, well, thank you. I mean, that really is what it's about. You know, it's so interesting that when you approach healing work and you approach this, you know, addressing multi-generational legacies and the woundedness that's passed on from generation to generation to generation until it's healed and let go of and released, a lot of people tend to believe, and it comes from the education, a lot of professionals, you know, licensed therapists, licensed professionals in the mental health addictions world, a lot of people believe that if you address each individual and respect each individual as a unique person, and you redirect their attention back to their own heart and spirit to honor themselves and respect themselves and come to terms with with what actually really feels correct to you, what feels congruent and in alignment to you, you know, in your heart and in your spirit. What's really the truth underneath all this stuff that we all ultimately have to take responsibility for and find a way to unravel if we're really going to address, you know, our woundedness or our the issues that plague us. It's an unraveling process. That if we do that, if you take each individual and hold them up and support them and making that heart reconnection for themselves, that it would just lead to chaos, that it would be everybody for themselves, and that, you know, it would be an unmanageable situation, that people need to be guided and directed, and they need rules wrapped around them. And I think my experience is just the opposite is true, that what happens when each of us is guided from a place of love and respect and compassion, you know, and at the same time, discipline and structure and accountability, when we're guided in that, from that perspective, what we discover about ourselves is so humbling. And then what happens is the connections that occur, the relationships that are formed are authentic relationships. They're heart-centered relationships. It's like the divinity within each one of us begins to recognize itself among each other, as opposed to us all operating from a cultural operating program that wants to define us and assign value to us according to the culture's beliefs and the culture's values. It's like we don't need our culture to give us value. We were given value by our being here. The one that created us created value in us, within us. And it's our opportunity to rediscover that for ourselves. And in fact, that's the only way I think it can happen, is that we have that opportunity to discover that within ourselves, because we get so lost in the matrix. You know, the world's so crazy, and we go so fast, and we work so hard, and we struggle with all this stuff, and everybody's just trying to be good enough. You know, we're all just trying to be okay.
This is true. We are talking about the Heart Reconnection Guidebook. We are talking with Lee McCormick. With me is Razia Khan. You are listening to Answers for the Family. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to go to a listener question that comes in of a parent asking a question about their son who is in high school. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services and West Shield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585, or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
And we're back. You're listening to Answers for the Family. And again, we are talking with Lee McCormick. With me is Razia Khan. And we are talking about the Heart Reconnection Guidebook. And when we went to break, I said we're going to talk about a question that came in from a listener, and I want to thank the listeners. Now, I appreciate the fact that you take the time to send these in. I know sometimes people will call in, other times people will email or instant message, and especially like the fact that we get some that come in from teachers who say that your show is in the middle of the school day, so we can't listen, but if you can please ask this question, we will listen after school or later on in the evening to get the answer. So This one reads, in our son's high school, they have successfully implemented a program involving mindfulness practices. I was very skeptical of whether the kids would actually participate long term. What I came to learn was that so many were hiding a great deal of stress and anxiety, and after experiencing the difference and seeing their grades improve, it became a popular activity. The school counselor said they have been asking for even more activities like this. I read in the show summary that you have a guidebook. Would this be something appropriate for this age group? And this is from Denise in Los Angeles.
Oh, that's so cool. Good for you. And good for your school, man. Yeah, absolutely it would. I mean, give me a teacher's address. I'll send her a book or him a book. Yeah. You know, again, I mean, I think that's a validation. Mindfulness, for me, I have a lot of really fantastic Buddhist practitioner, Buddhist teacher, you know, Dharma teacher, friends. What I've realized over the years is the mystery schools, whether it was the, you know, the Egyptian mystery school or the Toltec mystery school in Mexico or the Queros in the Andes, or the Buddha, you know, I think maybe the mystical Christianity probably had the same things the Kabbalah, the Kabbalah does. But if we want to shift our relationship to the world around us and bring peace and centeredness and awareness to it, it has to begin from the inside out. And, you know, mindfulness or meditation, we're turning our attention away from the world and bringing it back into the seat of our own soul. We're bringing our attention back to ourselves. And you know, it's just, well, you guys know, y'all have lived your own lives and your own experiences, and you've found the way to live your own connection to your heart, your soul, your spirit. And meditation and mindfulness is just such a key aspect to that. And so once that connection is made, once that awareness has been discovered, then man, you've got a gateway to bringing in other ways of seeing the world, other ways of viewing yourself. And those practices are all through the Heart Reconnection book.
Lee, I think you are asking the reader to really become vulnerable, and there's a certain sense of power in vulnerability, and I think you're asking for the reader to be authentic and to be genuine and to really be truthful to themselves.
Well, sure, and that's a practice. It's a process. You know, like the first thing that I'll bring into working with a group, one of the first things I instill is I ask people to start a journal. And at the end of every day, take that journal out in the evening before you go to bed and journal that day's experience. So you don't need to write all the details in particular. And there's direction for this in the Heart Reconnection book. In particular, you recapitulate your day and you look for any instances during that day where you really got hooked, where you got upset, where you got angry, where you got reactive, where you judged yourself or you judged anyone else, you know. And in the beginning, it's like justified or not. That's not the point. The point is to identify those places during that one single day that you really got hooked. And there may be instances in that day where you had fantastic realizations or you came to an awareness of something really great. Well, if you'll just journal it, it reinforces the experience. It also gives us a mirror for us to begin the practice of self-awareness to see how we are living in the world and for us to begin to take responsibility for ourselves in how we get hooked by reactions and automatic judgments. And once we become aware that that's what we're doing, we then can begin to develop that ability to find that moment between an experience and the reaction. Self-awareness feeds on itself. We're such amazing beings. We humans are amazing. And we're not, we're kind of sold the short end of the stick in how we're programmed to live in the world or domesticated to live in the world. We're not raised up to strengthen our gifts. We're raised up to fit in to the existing culture or the existing dynamic that we were born into. And we adopt and we adapt and we do that. But over the course of that happening, to a large degree, we really abandon the truth of who we really are, and we take on the stories that we've been taught we must believe or that we've inherited, and we abandon our intuition, and we give all our faith to reason and to the mind. So it creates an innate imbalance. Well, mindfulness, journaling, reflection, these practices allow us to come back into a deeper relationship with ourself, and it happens naturally if we will just practice. We will reclaim ourselves from the world if we'll just begin to break the patterns that keep us so stuck in living outside of ourselves, if that makes sense to you.
Yes, it does. And I like how you are asking the reader to keep a check, not only on life, but keep a check on themselves on a regular basis by writing into the journal, almost like keeping a check on themselves by looking at the mirror. So I have another...
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, you go ahead.
Well, it's so powerful to create mirrors for ourselves. We have to see what we're doing. We have to see what our habits are, what our patterns are, before we can change them. Because they're so ingrained in us. When we first start really... When we start on a journey of self-inquiry or self-awareness, we're so ingrained in our patterns and we believe so completely in who and what we are, typically, that it's our normal. And we haven't experienced ourselves outside of our normal. And so by establishing these mirrors through journaling, through, talking circles, through meditation and mindfulness, as we create these mirrors, we can then become a witness to ourselves. And as we become a witness, we then can recover the opportunity to choose to respond to life differently.
Hence, we can change the programming, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Lee, I have another listener.
You do it all the time with people.
Yes. I have another listener question, if I may.
You bet.
Okay. He says, I am a former opioid addict who shuffled through a half a dozen facilities unsuccessfully over 8 years. I started with alcohol, then onto pain meds, all to relieve the emotional pain in my life. These were temporary feel-good patches until I discovered a group that provided a combination of hypnotherapy, meditation, healthy diet, and the personal support and positive working environment that allowed me to heal and get clean for good. 10 years strong and counting. You are so correct that it is the heart connection that makes a tremendous difference. I look forward to reading your book and most of all, sharing it with others. And this is from Joseph in Mississippi.
Oh, cool. Well, that's great. Thanks, Joseph. And you know what? Like, Joseph, one of us, that actually allowed your suffering to be the calling card to you rediscovering yourself. Like, suffering is it's a double-edged sword. On one hand, suffering is awful and it's a curse. On the other hand, if you bring your attention and you bring responsibility for yourself back into your relationship to your suffering, the suffering becomes the launching pad that we used because it took the suffering to get us to pay attention. The suffering is what woke us up. And so that curse then flips. It's like alchemy. The curse flips and the curse becomes a blessing. And it's really cool.
Yeah, it sure is. So, Lee, first of all, this is great, and time is flying by. We've got about 5 minutes. We've got a few more questions to go through. And One of them is, you mentioned earlier in regards to faith. So share a little bit about the difference between faith and belief in the way in which you approach it with your heart reconnection work.
Well, to put it simply, for me, all of us humans believe a lot of things. And for the most part, our beliefs are either something that we have created or come to deduce on our own. It's a conclusion we've come to. It's an awareness we've come to through our life's experience, or our beliefs are based in information that we have been taught is quote unquote the truth. Okay. So beliefs are agreements that we make with ourselves, that we hold in our mind, and then we give our faith to those agreements.
Great. Can you elaborate on what you mean when you say you are not your thoughts?
Well, you hear the voices in your mind, right? You hear yourself thinking. We all can hear those thoughts in our mind, right? And mm-hmm. The truth is, we have absolutely no idea what the next thought that enters our mind is going to be. Can you tell me what the next thought that's coming is going to be that enters your mind?
Oh, hundreds of them.
Yeah, we don't know which one's coming next, but there's a lot of them.
Exactly. And, you know, we do know that some of them are coming from the database of our mind, right, from the memory bank, from the programming, from the domestication, like on the computer hard drive. But there's an aspect of our thoughts that we don't know where they come from. They come out of the spirit world. They come out of the cosmos. We are not our thoughts. We are the consciousness that hears them. If I am the thoughts I'm having, then who's listening? I'm the one that's listening. I'm the one that hears them. I'm not the thought.
Thank you, Lee. And what do you mean? I have to ask this follow-up question. What do you mean by you are not your body?
Well, I'm the energy, the light. I'm the spirit, the consciousness that animates my body. And my body is my ally now. For many years, I treated my body. I've never treated an animal I had as bad as I used to treat my body. But, you know, my body is my vehicle in this life. It's the form, the human that I am experiencing life through in this world, through my physical body. When my spirit leaves my body will return to the earth. My body, the elements that make up my body return to the body of the mother. I don't. What I am is the consciousness and the light that came into this form to give it life. Where I go from here, that's we humans have all kinds of different beliefs about where we come from and where we go. So I won't get into that. But I know for a fact that when I leave this body, I'm going to the next. I will not end when my body ends.
So you are the infinite spirit instead of the finite body, is what you're saying.
Exactly, because we are, this entire realm and world that we live in, it's a realm of dualities. We have light and dark and in and out and positive and negative and male and female. You know, we have the physical, we have the spirit. And everything that exists, exists with a dualistic aspect to it. So, you know, my body is the form and my life force is the spirit, and the two merge and create this miracle of being a human.
Well, for everybody out there, the book is The Heart Reconnection Guidebook, A Guided Journey of Personal Discovery and Self-Awareness. Lee, thank you so much. I wish we had another hour because this has been great. For those that want to get more information, some of Lee's websites, one is spiritrecovery.com. You also have dreamingheaven.net. Lee, I just...
And also our treatment program is integrativelifecenter.com. Integrativelifecenter.com in Nashville.
All right. So, Lee, I just really want to acknowledge you and thank you for the work that you're doing. And, you know, to me, this book is not just for the recovery community. This is something that we can all benefit from.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. It's about being human.
It is.
All right. So Lee, thanks. And for everybody out there, please be sure you put on your calendar to tune in next Monday when we are joined by Doug Vermeerene to discuss his new book, Personal Power Mastery. And please visit our archives of past interviews at answersforthefamily.com, or you can subscribe to the show through iTunes, Stitcher, or YouTube. And please, if you like what you hear, leave a review. It will help us reach more people, and we greatly appreciate it. The next time you're on Facebook, also please remember to check out our posts. If you like the post, please like us. And for everybody out there, be good human beings. Razia, thank you so much for being here with us, and I look forward to when you're going to be back with us.
Thank you, everybody.
All right. Be good human beings, and be with us next week on Answers for the Family.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.